ವಿದ್ವಾನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ.
Getting
there. I came waiting.
Oh God.
Oh.
Did you want
to question?
No,
I'm fine. So we'll chant verses 6 to 10. Chapter 12.
ಯೇತು ಸರ್ವಾಣಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಯೇತು ಸರ್ವಾಣಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಮಯಿ ಸನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಮತ್ಪರಾಃ ಮಯಿ ಸನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಮತ್ಪರಾಃ ಅನನ್ಯೇನೈವ ಯೋಗೇನ ಅನನ್ಯೇನೈವ ಯೋಗೇನ ಮಾಂ ಧ್ಯಾಯಂತ ಉಪಾಸತೆ ಮಾಂ ಧ್ಯಾಯಂತ ಉಪಾಸತೆ ಯೇತು ಸರ್ವಾಣಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಮಯಿ ಸನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಮತ್ಪರಾಃ ಅನನ್ಯೇನೈವ ಯೋಗೇನ ಮಾಂ ಧ್ಯಾಯಂತ ಉಪಾಸತೆ ತೇಷಾಮಹಂ ಸಮುದ್ಧಾರ್ತ ತೇಷಾಮಹಂ ಸಮುದ್ಧಾರ್ತ ಮೃತ್ಯು ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರಾತ್ ಮೃತ್ಯು ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರಾತ್ ಭವಾಮಿ ನ ಚಿರಾತ್ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಭವಾಮಿ ನ ಚಿರಾತ್ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಮಯ್ಯಾವೇಶಿತ ಚೇತಸಾಂ ಮಯ್ಯಾವೇಶಿತ ಚೇತಸಾಂ ತೇಷಾಮಹಂ ಸಮುದ್ಧಾರ್ತ ಮೃತ್ಯು ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರಾತ್ ಭವಾಮಿ ನ ಚಿರಾತ್ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಮಯ್ಯಾವೇಶಿತ ಚೇತಸಾಂ ಮಯ್ಯೇವ ಮನ ಆದತ್ಸ್ವ ಮಯ್ಯೇವ ಮನ ಆದತ್ಸ್ವ ಮಯಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿಂ ನಿವೇಶಯ ಮಯಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿಂ ನಿವೇಶಯ ನಿವಸಿಷ್ಯಸಿ ಮಯ್ಯೇವ ನಿವಸಿಷ್ಯಸಿ ಮಯ್ಯೇವ ಅತ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಂ ನ ಸಂಶಯ ಅತ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಂ ನ ಸಂಶಯ ಮಯ್ಯೇವ ಮನ ಆದತ್ಸ್ವ ಮಯಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿಂ ನಿವೇಶಯ ನಿವಸಿಷ್ಯಸಿ ಮಯ್ಯೇವ ಅತ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಂ ನ ಸಂಶಯ ಅತ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಸಮಾಧಾತುಂ ಅತ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಸಮಾಧಾತುಂ ನ ಶಕ್ನೋಷಿ ಮಯಿ ಸ್ಥಿರಂ ನ ಶಕ್ನೋಷಿ ಮಯಿ ಸ್ಥಿರಂ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗೇನ ತತಃ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗೇನ ತತಃ ಮಾಮಿಚ್ಚಾಪ್ತುಂ ಧನಂಜಯ ಮಾಮಿಚ್ಚಾಪ್ತುಂ ಧನಂಜಯ ಅತ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಸಮಾಧಾತುಂ ನ ಶಕ್ನೋಷಿ ಮಯಿ ಸ್ಥಿರಂ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗೇನ ತತಃ ಮಾಮಿಚ್ಚಾಪ್ತುಂ ಧನಂಜಯ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸೇಪ್ಯಸಮರ್ಥೋಸಿ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸೇಪ್ಯಸಮರ್ಥೋಸಿ ಮತ್ಕರ್ಮ ಪರಮೋ ಭವ ಮತ್ಕರ್ಮ ಪರಮೋ ಭವ ಮದರ್ಥಮಪಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಮದರ್ಥಮಪಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಕುರ್ವನ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಿಮವಾಪ್ಸ್ಯಸಿ ಕುರ್ವನ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಿಮವಾಪ್ಸ್ಯಸಿ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸೇಪ್ಯಸಮರ್ಥೋಸಿ ಮತ್ಕರ್ಮ ಪರಮೋ ಭವ ಮದರ್ಥಮಪಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಕುರ್ವನ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಿಮವಾಪ್ಸ್ಯಸಿ.
Having heard Lord speak on Vishwarupa Darshanam,
Lord had also shown the Vishwarupa
to Arjuna in the 11th chapter. So now Arjuna is asking the question at the beginning of this chapter to Lord Krishna. Now, worshipping you as Vishwarupa or in Rupa for that matter, vis-a-vis worshipping the imperishable Brahman, which is superior, which is better. Always, whenever any better question comes, this kind of which is better question comes, you should always understand the question also is very important. If somebody asks, is it better to remain single or married? The fact that he is asking, there is some desire to get married. Better to get married for that fellow. So tell him, being married is better. But Essentially, it's not correct that it's same thing for everybody, right? So here when Arjuna is asking, is form better or formless worship better? Obviously, he is asking this question because he is still in the earlier stage. So Sri Krishna says,
worshipping form is far superior.
Also, there is one more reason, because if you are attached to your body, if you are still identifying at the body level, see, when anybody says I, what they mean by that I needs to be understood correctly. If you remember in the fourth chapter, the chapter was begun by Sri Krishna by saying, I taught this very same knowledge to Vivaswan, Vivaswan taught it to Manu, Manu taught it to Ikshvaku. Whatever I spoke to you in the second and third chapter, I already taught it to Vivaswan. And Vivaswan is the sun god, very first being. Now, Arjuna immediately asked this question, what do you mean? You talk to Vivaswan, I know your date of birth. You were born recently, few years ago. How is it possible that you talk to Vivaswan? So then immediately Sri Krishna says, many janmas of mine and yours have gone by, you do not know, I know everything, like that he starts. Now, what is the problem here? When ordinary being uses the word I, he means this limited self. Whenever people like Sri Krishna, any master for that matter, Jesus Christ or anyone who uses the word I, they mean the Atma. So the I could mean this limited self up to Atma, in between also. So there are people who are only identified at the sense level. Beyond sense, they can't see anything else. Isn't it? Swami Vivekananda gives an example. There was a frog living in a well and there was another frog living in the ocean. The frog from the ocean by mistake fell into the well. Then the frog in the well is asking the new frog, right? You seem similar to me, same as mine. Where are you from? Says ocean. What is the ocean? Ocean is also a water body, like this well. Achha, then how big is it? Really big, I can't explain to you. No. Then he goes around the pond, the well, 2-3 times. He says, would it be this big? See, the well, the frog in the well cannot think anything beyond that. So there are people who have reduced their eye to that level only. That's why I said, no, that movie, Honey, I Shrunk My Kids. You know, so we have shrunk ourselves to this limited self. So Arjuna is asking from that level, Sri Krishna is talking from absolute level. So here again, when Arjuna is asking this question, it is obvious that he is still identified with the body. So Sri Krishna says, for the embodied, it is very difficult to worship formless, inconceivable Brahman. To be able to contemplate on that is very, very difficult. So in this context last week, in fact we didn't do any verse, but we were discussing many things. A lot of people ask, sir, before coming to Vedanta classes, I used to do a lot of rituals. Abhi rituals kam ho gaya. Yeah, maybe I stopped also. Is it anything wrong happening in me? Is it correct or wrong? Now, there is no such thing as correct or wrong. So my answer to them would be, the gross ritual, if it has stopped, has it been replaced by daily study? Let's say. Because daily studying the scripture is also a ritual. But that is at a very subtler level. Are you with me? So if you are getting up early in the morning and sitting and studying, then you are already doing upasana, you are already doing worship. So probably you are not sitting and doing aarti, but worship ho gaya. But there are people at home, they don't understand this. They say, what is happening to this person? After attending this Vedanta classes, they stop doing all this. They don't understand that they are doing worship at a subtle level. Are you with me? Number one point. Number two point. What is the number two point, whether you are evolving or not? I think last week, three of you were there, so it's triangle. Puja, Mataji, Sapna. You can say.
Progressive ways to reach God.
What is the proof that you are evolving, even though you have stopped doing rituals?
That you are
doing some form of...
That I already told. You're doing studying. Next point.
And you do it even you don't believe it, but you still, you
action.
Above that, but you still do it so that the family...
That is third point. Second point.
Whatever you are doing, you are doing with that
arpan bhava.
God in everything and everyone.
You're doing ritual,
but
you're not jumped in the ritual process.
You are not doing ritual. You are doing studying. That is point number one, is very important. Studying means you're doing some higher level of ritual. Worship is continuing. See, worship doesn't mean only in the temple. When somebody is 24/7 thinking about God, he is not doing ritual, doesn't mean he is not spiritual. You understand? But there are people who don't understand. They'll only see you if you're doing spiritual activities. For them it is only all these things. Mandir jana, puja karna, ye sab chhod diya, ye kya hoga? So you have to find out whether you are doing subtler level of worship. Is your identification still at the different level? Most important thing is, as a result of you evolving higher, you will have love and compassion to all beings, and certainly you will not criticize or look down upon people who do gross rituals. In that context, I said, when you understand this, you would still probably continue some level of rituals at the gross level, because in your own family there are children growing up. There are people. So in this context I even brought the relationship angle and said, when you have grown in relationship to a little higher level of self-sufficiency, you are at the level of love now. So when a person is in deep love, he or she doesn't require so much of expression. Are you with me? But in a relationship there are other people who are not that much self-sufficient. For them, expressions are important. So you will come down to their level and you will say happy anniversary. You understand? You will not expect them to say the same thing to you. You probably are free from that. Are you with me? But you won't do this. Oh, they are lower level, therefore I am doing. Not even that kind of judgment should be there. Should do it lovingly. It is very important when you are evolving. So, I ask these questions to the people. You find out if these are happening, then it's okay. You are not really non-spiritual or anything. Not stop rituals because you become just dry little. You know, very often you have to be very careful in spirituality, especially in the Jnana Marga. As the knowledge goes in, we can become dry little. The biggest problem in people who go too much into Bhakti Marga, they become absolutely mechanical and no intellect used. Pure emotion, no intellect. That is the danger there. The danger in Jnana Marga is you become extremely dry.
And egoistic also,
that
you think that you know
what happens. Dry fellows become arrogant, obviously. There has to be a perfect confluence of head and heart. In fact, Swami Vivekananda once, somebody asked him, should you prefer somebody whose heart is more developed or head more developed? He said, ideally both should be developed. But if I have no choice, I would rather choose a person whose heart is developed. Then head can be slowly developed. But head is developed, then muskil hota hai. Because you start justifying everything. You start using your dry intellect and then you become really, like you said, arrogant. It's very dangerous. And this happens in Jnana Marga to many people. If you are not careful. So, in fifth verse is what he said. Arjuna, both worshipping the form and the formless will lead you to Atma. Finally, what is important is identification. Are you with me? If I am identifying with spirituality, slowly it will take me there. It's like radium passed in a cancer patient. When the radium is passed, slowly over a period of time, the radium works and helps the person to get better. Are you with me? It's like that. If you continue your identification with the divinity, whether through form or without form. And here another important point we need to understand is, in form also there is gross form, subtle form. For example, the form of the Lord. Then the mantras like Om. What is Om? Om is nothing but sound. Sound is also another form. Are you with me? So, different forms are there. Whichever way you go, you got to understand form is only what? An idol representing an ideal. Not all of us are able to directly conceive of the ideal, therefore we might need a form. There are people who get inspired if they keep their guru's photo or Bhagwan's photo, isn't it? It's needed for them. But there are people who have gone beyond it, they don't have to keep it. That doesn't mean they don't have love for the guru or bhakti for the guru, bhakti for the divinity. It's not like that. But some people need it for inspiration. So you keep it. You know? That's all it is. So in 5 he said, both will get there, but the person who is identified with the body level, for him, going to imperishable is difficult. So the highest, topmost bhakti is what? When you have become one with Bhagavan. See, please understand, what is bhakti? Bhakti is losing oneself in Bhagavan. When you have lost yourself completely and you have become one with Bhagavan, you and Bhagavan are not separate now. That is the highest self-realization, absolute knowledge. That is the highest bhakti. Isn't it? Then one step lower than that is one who is able to worship imperishable Brahman. That he said is difficult if you are identified with the body. Then what is the next?
So Bhagavan is Atma?
Yeah, Bhagavan is Atma.
When you say uniting with the Bhagavan,
if
Bhagavan is within.
Yeah, Bhagavan is not without. Initially you look at him outside. But that will absolutely to take your mind inward. See, this is the technique.
No, so total bhakti people still believe in God.
So what's wrong with
that? And worship in God. And when you say you unite with God, that, is that God your Atma or is that God still a
sister? When you begin with the belief that God is outside. But as your bhakti intensifies slowly, you will see quite a lot of bhaktas who are apparently worshipping idols. Say that, for example, you take Swami Ramakrishna Brahma. He was a great jnani, but he used to do Kali worship. You understand? He knows very well Atma is Bhagavan. But he still continued doing that worshipping of the mother Kali. Are you with me? So, he is a jnani. He knows that Atma is Bhagavan. In the beginning when a person starts, maybe they think God is outside. Maybe they think God is in heaven.
So for Jnana Yoga I understood, but for the Bhakti Yoga also at the end, do they think that God is me?
See, absolutely.
Me, is Atma?
Yes, if you continue in Bhakti Maan, that's what will happen. Indeed, that's what I'm trying to say. See, first of all, I clarified this point also. This Bhakti Yoga, there are like people like Swami Jayananda Saraswati, right? Swami Dayananda Saraswati who just gave up his body recently, about a year ago or so. I am talking about that Dayananda Saraswati, not that Arya Samaj Dayananda. So this Swami Dayananda Saraswati will say, there is no such thing as Bhakti Yoga. His point is very simple, he says, Bhakti ke bina koi bhi yoga nahi ho sakta. Are you with me? Agar aapka karma mein bhakti mix nahi hua, to wo sirf karma hoga. वो कैसा कर्म योगा होगा सो देयरफॉर ही सेज कर्म योगी इज अ भक्ता एंड ज्ञानम वी आर स्टडीइंग नाउ सपोजिंग इफ भक्ति इज मिसिंग हियर यू जस्ट से चलो कृष्णा क्या बोल रहे हैं लेट अस सी यू नो वेरी ड्राई अप्रोच कोई भक्ति नहीं कोई सरेंडर नहीं द गोल इज नॉट टू बिकम वन विद डिविनिटी विद इन जस्ट इंटेलेक्चुअल स्टडी देन दिस जस्ट practice of some intellectual curiosity going on. It won't become Jnana Yoga. Are you with me? So therefore what Dayananda Saraswati says is, even this practice of sitting in the mandir and doing puja, he says all this comes in Karma Yoga. The Karma Kanda portion, Karma Yoga, according to him. So there is only Karma Yoga and Bhakti and Jnana Yoga. Okay? Everybody is a Bhakta.
Okay.
This is his interpretation. Now, quite a lot of people talk about it differently. That is simple. You have a physical body, you have mind, you have intellect. When you identify with the divinity, using your bodily actions, it's called Karma Yoga. When you identify with the divinity, through your emotions, it is called Bhakti Yoga. When you identify with the divinity through your intellect, then it is Jnana Yoga.
Okay? So emotions when you do, you have a form. Now in emotions there are different bhavas. You look at God as your child. Vatsalya bhava. Matru bhava. You look at God as mother. Literally in Bhakti Yoga practices, there are people who look at Bhagavan as Vatsalya. And you know, you go to certain mandirs, you will be very surprised this kind of practice. Some people ask, hey, what is this going on? You know, they don't understand this. See, in Bhakti, you say, this particular period, Bhagavan has fallen sick, it seems. They say that. So mandir also,
sick.
So mandir also is closed. Bhagavan is recouping, they will say. Look, pagal ho gaya kya? You don't understand this. Bhagavan, you don't, but what they are actually trying to say is, it's looking at Bhagavan with Vatsalya Bhav, Matru Bhav. There are different bhavs, you know, in Bhakti practices. So they are doing from that angle. In fact, in one particular period, they are giving, we say Rasam. Rasam rice to Bhagavan, they are offering. Because Bhagavan's health killing. See, these are different bhavs in which you keep your mind in divinity. The whole idea in Hinduism is that through stories, through rituals, through Gyan Marga, all these methods, they try to keep your mind constantly in divinity.
Let's say Ramakrishna Paramahansa, so he worshipped Kali. He also was such a, evolved spiritual person. So, so the Atma is within him and within everyone, that was a given for him. But would it be like a crutch then? I mean, for most people, most of us also, let's say, need a symbol to inspire us sometimes, even if it's Om. Or even if it's a sun, or
yes, you need it, yeah.
We need that sometimes to remind us. So then that's a crutch.
Yes.
And
it's an idol. It's an idol representing idol. I won't mind using the word crutch, but better is crutch when you say it's a little
anchor.
Anchor.
To take your mind to that side, you know. See, the mind has to go in that direction. For that you need something like anchor. You need that.
But Guruji, also like when we are talking of this, the ultimate, when you said the bhakta become one with the God, so I think that's the destination. So all the marks, whether like she said the Gyan Marga, that time everything becomes one.
Correct.
So that's the ultimate thing for any mark.
Jnani bhakta is the ultimate.
Yeah.
You forgot in chapter 7. That is why I told you, please do summary. Really, I'm telling you, it's not a joke because they have already come to 12th chapter. It's very difficult now. You should have done it every now and then, it's easy. In 7th chapter, 4 types of bhaktas are discussed. What are the 4 types of bhaktas? 7th chapter, verse 16. Verse 16, 7th chapter.
The Asta, the distressed,
the
seeker of knowledge, the seeker of wealth and the wife.
Artati.
Artati
is one who seeks wealth. Arta.
I put it on silent.
Sometimes it doesn't work, that lose connection.
I'm not too ready.
Ask
the banana.
It was
announced?
Yeah. No. I'm reminded of this.
16.
Like what happened today with her phone. Swamiji says this. That lady is saying, no, he's just pulling my legs. It didn't really happen. He says, one lady, during Swamiji's lecture, come to your house. Mm-hmm. All of you, please switch off your mobile phone. You know, like here in Delhi, Jaramanji does it. So, all of you, take your mobile phone and switch it off, he said. No? Or put it in silent mode. So when this lady was announcing, her phone was fully ringing. You know, so I was reminded of that. And that lady says, no, never anything like that happened. So she is just teasing me, you know. But anyway, so Artharthi, one who is attached to
wealth.
He, for him, Bhagavan is a means to get wealth. Artha.
आपका मीन्स अनु गोज टू भगवान ड्यूरिंग डिस्ट्रेस सम प्रॉब्लम हो गया सो सडनली यू विल कम टू स्पिरिचुअलिटी दिस भगवत गीता क्लास हैपनिंग इन दिल्ली सडनली यू आर इंटरेस्टेड दुख में सिमरन सब करे सुख में करे न कोई ब्यूटिफुली कभी से सुना तो इफ यू आर थिंकिंग ऑफ
जो सुख सिमरन करे तो दुख काहे
को फॉर दैट फेलो देयर इज नो सॉरी So in other words, that is artha. Then jignas, intellectual curiosity. Let us see how Lakshmi Narayan interprets this. Let us see how Dhyanata's disciple interprets. Let us you are only interested in that. You know? You are not really interested in Bhagavan. Intellectual curiosity. Then the last one is Jnani. One who goes to Bhagavan for the sake of Bhagavan and ultimately becomes Bhagavan. That is Jnani Bhakta. So Gita ji, this is what I say. Ultimately, you become Jnani. Jnani Bhakta is where? When Gita dissolves in? The individuality. River merges in the ocean. The river starting from Gangotri is flowing towards Bay of Bengal only. All along its focus is what? Bay of Bengal. Bay of Bengal. But ultimately, it dissolves in Bay of Bengal. When it dissolves in Bay of Bengal, the individual identity of the river is lost and it gains the total identity of the ocean. Are you with me? So there is bhakti. So there is bhakti practice when you send emotions to divinity, then intellect, jnana, marg, etc. Okay. So that time you use the word bhakti yoga. So they say there is specific bhakti yoga like this, you know, you do archanam, padasevanam, abhishekam and all this is there. All this would come under bhakti yoga. It doesn't matter what. Let them argue among themselves. But as long as you understand the concept, you will have no problem.
And also as long as, you know, let's say there's someone who has a lot of bhakti in his puja ghar and idols. So, but sometimes there becomes attachment. We've seen in cases, generations before us, they become very attached to that idol, they become very attached to the... So forget the form, it's the idol, that particular idol that
you can get attached to everything. The nature of mind is to get attached. You leave everything in Delhi and you will take sannyasi thing and go to a guru, you get attached to guru. Or you get attached to ashram, it is possible.
In this case, it's full faith also. The bhakti is there. I mean, you can see the devotion, you know something. But there's an attachment to that also. It's a full faith and attachment.
Yeah. There are people who are attached. They are using their intellect and they are maintaining their awareness. That is true. That is not possible in everything. That is why they keep saying that at any level don't get attached. Because see, a river has to remember, my goal is ocean. I don't mind, it's not I don't mind, in fact wherever I flow, I really help the nearby land, keeping them fertile. But I won't go out of the way to Thar desert to help Thar desert and come back. I am flowing. Nearby, jo bhi hai, unko main, I will help. Without having any desire to help, I help. But I will continue moving towards ocean. Similarly, you should continue in the path of the divinity till I become one with divinity, till I become absolutely independent, mentally. Never should you get stuck in it. This is the problem, you know. Somebody comes and does something good to you, you get attached to them. Or somebody comes and does something really negative to you. Then what happens? You get unnecessarily mentally attacked. How is she talking like this? How can she talk like this? How dare? Then you are unnecessarily wasting your energy there. You get stuck there. Dono ko hari om bolke jaa. You know what I mean? People are doing good. Theek hai bhai. I'm really grateful to you. You see, many a times you find people who lack gratitude are people who are bound by gratitude. Dono wrong. Why should my gratitude to somebody stop me from growing? Nothing in this universe should stop me from growing inward. Because the very purpose of the human being is to reach the Atma, liberation, mukti. That's what I told last week also, remember. Nobody likes to be told, sit up, get up, do this, do that. Even children don't like. They look at you like, where are you from? Which planet? They don't like. Because essentially you want freedom. So when Bhagavad Gita says your goal is mukti,
oh, these people have been careful with them. They are saying mukti. Mukti means you are really interested in freedom.
So therefore Bhagavad Gita says, Baba, pehla socho, freedom kya hota hai? Abhi, you are misunderstanding. Freedom is giving freedom to mind.
Whatever I want to do, I do, I am free person. That is not being free.
Do you have the freedom to say no to whatever your mind wants to do, then you are really free. So it is not giving freedom to mind that is freedom, it is being free from the mind that is freedom. And being free from the mind is a problem. It's not easy. So therefore what do you have to do? To go along with the mind and then bring your mind out. You have to become completely controlled. It will take a while. This whole thing is a technique. The whole spirituality as far as the Vedic approach is concerned is a technique. Unfortunately, it has been labelled with all other religions as a secular, secular, all this problem comes. So why are you only teaching? It's not that only, it's a technique that he is talking about. Ultimately, they are not interested in the, you know, in psychology. They create, it's like that placebo. There, you are not actually having any problem. You are mentally suffering. That you are having some stomach problem. So they give you one placebo. Right? And you say, I'm sure. This is all they are doing. Mind is fake. So therefore, equally, they created all sorts of varieties of gods and goddesses. Through that, finally what happens? The gods and goddesses and the mind dissolve. Then what remains? Your true self. This is the method. So now, in five, first step is when you have become one with Bhagavan. River as much with ocean, that's the highest. The next is, one who is able to identify with imperishable Brahman, formless worship. But for that you have to be free from body. That is also not possible, you come down one level. What is that?
Vishwarupa Darshana, seeing Bhagwan as everything.
This tree is also Bhagwan. Everything as Bhagwan. The good, bad and ugly in this universe as Bhagwan. That is Vishwarupa. So that Vishwarupa he talks from 6, 7, 8. Now if you are not able to do that, then 9, what is that? Chalo, ek rupa karo. Ek rupa, Shri Krishna or Bhagavan Hanuman ji, whosoever Sai Baba, jovi hota hai, you understand, ek rupa worship. If that is also not possible, then 10, what? Forget about this ek rupa and all that. Go in the world outside, work. You understand? But work as a devotee of God. Karma yoga karo. That is 10. That is also not possible. Then what? 11. What is it? Selfish action karo. Kamya karma. Kamya karma. Means you are doing action only to fulfill your desire. Be asati. No problem. I want to fulfill my desire, so therefore I am praying to Bhagwan. Please make sure today the Nifty should go up, Sensex should go up. Oh Bhagwan, you understand? Do that, no problem. Okay? But the result when it comes, na, Nifty upar ho gaya. Say, Bhagwan ne mere ko diya. But this is called the last stage.
This
lowest level. Are you with me? Lowest level. You are doing for your sake only, not for the welfare of the world. Okay, but result, the thing to Bhagavan. I offer this to you. Now, in this I said, Kamya Karma, there is one more. What is it? Nishiddha Karma. But that is an exceptional case. I told last week. Don't quote me and do all the nonsense and then get into trouble. You understand? Nishiddha Karma, first of all, you don't do. Okay?
What is Nishiddha?
Nishiddha means forbidden.
Kamya means desire. Right? First of all, you are supposed to only Nitya Naimitika Karma. Nitya Naimitika Karma means daily routine obligatory duties and special obligatory duties.
What is good for the whole world, you are also included in the good for the whole world. Therefore, that you do.
Right? But what happens, you need sometimes some Kamya Karma, which is not really detrimental to the world, but you have some desire.
You understand? So, he says, okay, chalo, you are at that level, theek hai. For you also, we accommodate.
Chalo, Kamya Karma, karo. Bhagavan ko pray karo. Please fulfill my Kamya Karma. Okay? Then?
How is it different than the sixth Gurujaya Kuntana? The Arthati?
Arthati, same.
Same. Kamya Karma is Arthati.
Yes, last one is Kamya Karma.
Okay.
You do. But in this, one exceptional thing is, sometimes, when you are not able to control that nishiddha thing which is not destructive for the others, which is not good for you, but not necessarily destructive for others, such nishiddha karma, in an exceptional case, after consulting the Guru, I don't know how many more clauses I should put, all that, sometimes you are alone, but with awareness.
Like the Battle of Mahabharata.
Battle of Mahabharata is not Nishiddha Karma. Battle of Mahabharata, they didn't want to fight. It was thrust on them. Nishiddha Karma is a
theft.
Okay, theft. Small lies. You know, something like that. Now, you're not able to stop yourself. Say for example, some people,
Ashwatthama,
non-vegetarian food, they're not able to stop. Non-vegetarian food, they are not able to stop. So what do you do? Shall I offer this non-vegetarian food, that sacrificing of animals? It is there, no? You sacrifice animals. Why unnecessarily for you to worship Bhagavan, sacrifice your goat or something? Take care, you are at this level, nothing wrong. Do that. But Bhagavan ko, then what happens? Slowly you will come out of the addiction to taste. Are you with me? That is the idea. That's why I said exceptional last case. First you try always to come out of knowledge. So that is the last. Now suppose you say, this also I am not able to do. What? He says, no problem. Next Janma also there will be Bhagavad Gita classes going on. You try that. Uske liye you can answer. Are you with me? These are the steps in the descending order he explains.
But in the sixth one, you see the, like say, the sensex points, as you said, gave an example, is rising, then you say, okay, thank God. But
it goes down also.
It goes down, then also you have to say thanks.
Yeah.
And it's not that then you say, oh God, what have you done and all. But then also you have to have that surrender.
Yes, basically,
which is
the result, you leave it to God. Take it as prasad. Really? That's the difference. Now let's go to verse number 6 and 7 together.
येतु सर्वाणि कर्माणि येतु सर्वाणि कर्माणि महिसन्यस्य मत्पराः महिसन्यस्य मत्पराः अनन्येनैव योगेन अनन्येनैव योगेन माध्यायन्त उपासते माध्यायन्त उपासते येतु सर्वाणि कर्माणि महिसन्यस्य मत्पराः अनन्येनैव योगेन माध्यायन्त उपासते तेषामहं समुद्धाता तेषामहं समुद्धाता मृत्युसंसारसागरात् मृत्युसंसारसागरात् भवामि न चिरात् पार्थ भवामि न चिरात् पार्थ मय्यावेशितचेतसा मय्यावेशितचेतसा तेषामहं समुद्धाता मृत्युसंसारसागरात् भवामि न चिरात् पार्थ मय्यावेशितचेतसा.
Now this upasate, upasana. What is upasana? I already told you. Upasana. Upa means here. Asana means sitting. Meaning, it's not physical sitting alone. Your mind is with Bhagavan. Now here he is talking about Vishwarupa Darshana. Vishwarupa Upasana. Right? In 6, 7, 8 I told you, he is doing Vishwarupa Upasana. So he is saying, but those who worship me,
Why me is here identifying with Vishwarupa? I already told you. We just completed 11th chapter. Vampar Arjuna, from that he asked a question. What is that he said? Worshipping you or worshipping imperishable? So he is differentiating you from imperishable in the sense you meaning the Vishwarupa and imperishable meaning the formless. So here when Sri Krishna says me, it means Vishwarupa. Is okay? So he is saying, but those who worship me, how? Renouncing all actions in me. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. In me, in Vishwarupa, they completely surrender. And then, regarding me as supreme, mat paraha. This mat paraha means what? I already told you, you are going to the supermarket with a list of things to purchase. And the supermarket fellow say, abhi 10 minute mein, you have to come to the counter because you are shutting down in 15 minutes. So what will you do? Quickly you will buy whatever is in your priority list. Few things you will miss, you say tomorrow will come, day after tomorrow will come. Isn't it? So, today what is happening? Bhagavan is your last priority. Matparaha means Bhagavan is the highest priority. Complete commitment to the reaching of divinity. That's what it means. Commitment to self. Matparaha. Nothing else is supreme, nothing else matters. See, if you are working for a certain cause and you were relatively free in between, let us say you went for a movie. While you are in a movie, you get a message that somebody whom you wanted to meet for the cause is available now. Can you come? They're asking. And you say bye-bye to the movie and go. You understand? Because that is what is important for me. Getting back to Atma is what my sole purpose is. All other things is tamasha. The sense, even relationships, ultimately, why do you need relationships? The relationship should help you to become self-sufficient. Isn't it? If you become a relation to somebody and then they are pulling you down, unnecessarily, why did they become a part of that? You join this group to study Bhagavad Gita to evolve, huh? To become a better person. But joining this somebody, you become more and more mundane. Why do I need to be in another samsara? Exactly that. Mat paraha. Only to get to Bhagavan. Nothing else. Commitment to spiritual. Then, regarding me as supreme, meditating on me. Meditating means single-pointed thinking about Vishwarupa. It's Manasika worship. See, when you are doing Manasika, there is more of mind level worship in Vishwarupa. In Ekarupa, there is more of what? Kayika and Vachika. In Vishwarupa, there is more of Vachika and Manasa. Is it clear? When you are doing Ekarupa worship, you use more of your organs of action and you're doing puja, all that, isn't it? In Vishwarupa, it is more vachika and
manas.
You are sitting here and saying, Hari Om, and you are chanting, worship Om. Upasana Havya. It's a mind level, vachika level. Everything. So this is what God wants. So he is saying here, meditating on me with single-pointed yoga, ananyenaiva yogena. Maam dhyayanta upasate. See, ananya. Anya means other. Ananya means no other. With no other thought. Only thought of Bhagavan. In the form of Vishwarupa. Then tesham aham samuttata. To them, to those minds which is set on me, I become yella opata, the deliverer from the ocean of death-bound samsara. See, the fact that your mind is now identified with me and it is going in my direction, I slowly remove all their bondage and what? I deliver them from this samsara to absolute reality. See, what he is trying to tell here is, please understand this. Infinity cannot be achieved by finite efforts. Okay? Ultimately, your infinite efforts with which you have to come to a certain level.
वहाँ पर with ईश्वर अनुग्रह with the grace of the Lord alone you will get मुक्ति. That's why if you are all the time saying I have to get effort, I have to get this, I will get this, you won't get the मुक्ति.
The last minute when the river merges in the ocean and when it will become divinity, when it becomes ocean, that last stage is not in your hands.
Till that last stage you bring, कुछ नहीं होता है बिना ईश्वर अनुग्रह.
You know me. So you, that's what he said, I deliver you. In the 18th chapter also, he says 66th verse, very famous verse. What is that? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyaha moksha ishyami mashuchaha. Don't worry, I will give you moksha. I will deliver
means grace of the Lord
alone can give you infinity. Your finite efforts cannot teach you infinity. Finite efforts can take you up to a point. Till then your finite effort is important. So he says, I will deliver them from the ocean of death bound samsara.
To what? To the infinite reality.
So all that you need to do is bring yourself to single pointed. Slowly, from extroverted, you have to become more and more introverted. That's why what they did. They did not say, come back to divinity. They said, okay, chalo, wherever your mind goes, go. Sara jagah mein ek ek Bhagwan dal diya.
Mind is going to Lakshmi, wealth, Lakshmi dal diya. Mind is going to power, Durga ji.
Mind is going to knowledge, Saraswati ji. You understand? Wherever your mind can go, Bhagavan ko dal diya.
And from childhood, stories bol diya.
So now your mind is all the time. Then slowly, over a period of time, say, chalo yaar. And you become more focused towards divinity. More focused. When you come to single-pointed focus, he says, I will take care of you. You have to come to single-pointed focus. That is called meditation. With no other thought. Only the thought of divinity supervised by your intellect. That is meditation.
Yes. Mayye vamana adatsva, Mayi buddhim niveshaya,
Nivasishyati mayyeva,
Atavudvam na samshayaha,
Mayye vamana adatsva, Mayi buddhim niveshaya,
See, beautiful verse. This is one of the most beautiful verses. Mayeva mana adatsva. Eva. Eva means alone. Buddhi ko sirf mere upar.
Bring your mind on me alone. The problem is, I'm not able to at the moment. See, as you think, so shall you become. So he's saying, if you can bring your mind on me alone, mayeva mana adhasva. So he says, fix your mind on me alone. And place your intellect in me. Mayi buddhim niveshaya.
At the moment, what is buddhi doing? Planning and scheming. Kya karu? How do I do this? How do I do that? Sirf worldly thing. No. Mana adatsya, mai buddhim nivesha. And then, very interesting, he says, nivashishyasi mayeva. Residing in me means, you know, I don't know whether you've seen in South Indian, lot of South Indian Brahmins, you will see them mostly in the mandir and all, but generally also if you go to South India, especially if you go to interiors,
You will see quite a lot of these people, if they are Shaivites or Vaishnavites, accordingly they are Tilakuli. Shaivites means horizontal, Vaishnavites means vertical. Now you will find Tilak on the forehead, Tilak on the neck, Tilak in the arms, Tilak in the forearms, stomach also, they are not wearing shirt.
See, what is this going on? Everywhere Tilak. In Vaishnava Sampradaya, they even put the Shankh Chakra, the heated thing, the what do you call
that? Tattoo.
Not a tattoo, it's
like
embedding on your body. What it means is, now on I am dedicating myself to Bhagavan first. Aur kuch nahi, like Hanumanji, he was presented with mala. He put the mala to his ears. He didn't say Ram. He threw it in the ocean. He's not saying Ram. My goal is to get to Ram. He doesn't say, he's not, don't take it literally. What it means is, this is what Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. I will have nothing from thy hands. Nibashishyasi maye eva. Stay there.
I will have nothing from
thy hands. Thy hands. Your hands. Temptation. You may give me something. See, first thing is, this is what I've been saying, you know. First, why? First, why? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Freedom. You understand? If freedom is my goal, then what should be my lifestyle? What kind of clothes? What kind of where do I have to reside? Suppose your goal is to do certain research. If you say 500 miles away from that university, how can you do research? Are you with me? So the goal should be that I stay closest to priority should be I should stay closest to the university. It's called paradigm shift. Bet me, what's the choose card?